The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Join us in song as the children come forward for our children's sermon.
Light a candle.
Well, good morning and welcome. And I'm glad you're up here and joining us. And in a moment, Braden's going to light a candle for us. Okay, but not yet, okay? Just kind of come around and stand up here next to me. So I want to talk for a few minutes about this candle that we're going to light. Today we're going to light one candle, and it's to represent hope. But to talk about hope, I want to have you first think about things that make us not feel hope if we don't realize it. One of them that happens every fall is all of the leaves falling off of the trees. Have you ever thought if you didn't know that they'd grow back, how sad that would be? All these beautiful trees, and you're like, oh no, what's happened? It's all dead, everything's dead. And if we didn't know better, if we didn't know the whole story, that would be how it felt, wouldn't it? But why aren't we sad when the leaves fall off? Because you know they're coming back. That's right. We know they're coming back. And that's kind of the neat thing, to think about what hope is. Now, what, Teddy? Oh, you saw some trees dying in the mountains. You know what? Sometimes trees die in the mountains and they don't grow back right away. But even then, we can find hope, because we know we can plant trees there and we can help them to grow back. And it takes a little more time. But there is some truth to that. There's some hard times that sometimes happen like that. Well, this is the other thing I want you to think about. In hope, there is something called waiting. And I know right now you're waiting for Christmas. But here's the thing. Talking about actively waiting is what we're going to talk about. Now, I think sometimes if we make it about our presence, this is what you think actively waiting looks like. Because it was for me, especially at your age. Oh, actively waiting right here. Christmas is coming. Did you know Christmas is coming? Yes, it is. It is. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, actively waiting, is saying, God needs me. And when God comes, there's a whole lot of work to do. What can I do? So the last thing I want to say to you guys, if you go to the table, if you wanted to buy an animal to give to a family who's very poor, there's a tree from our Outsider Walls group in the back, and you can take one of these little calendars, and then you can use this for all the season of Advent that starts today. And you can pull off a page from the calendar, and you can see and actively wait and pray every day and talk to your mommies and daddies about their gifts and your gifts and what you can do in the world to bring hope and light to others. And that is the active waiting I want to talk about. Are we ready to light our candle of hope? Can you light that for us now? And then we're going to pray. Thank you. Pray with me. Dear God, bring hope in our lives and use me to shine light to others. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Advent is here, and I want to talk about Advent. This text is called Luke's Little Apocalypse, and you might be asking yourself, really, Michael? Little apocalypse for today, really? I just put my Christmas tree lights up. I am ready to celebrate the coming of Christ, and you're giving me a gospel text titled The Little Apocalypse. Well, don't blame me, first of all right? I didn't create Advent, and this is on the books. I didn't change the scheduled reading for today or anything. I also don't encourage our culture that has made it bright right away. See, that's what we've done. We like Christmas so much that we bring the light into Advent, and I get it. I get why we do that. We can't help ourselves. We want this season to be instantly bright. We do. But if I can do anything today, I want to make you see that in the darkest of times, there's hope. And I believe that that is what we're talking about in Advent, trying to help us to understand that there are times where that light does not seem real. And in fact, I think that's one of the problems with this time of year. Those people who know that their heart and the pain in their hearts is so real, when everybody's talking about this great light and everything else, and they're not there, that can be really hard. But if we see this hope of great substance of Advent, a hope that is in the darkness, a hope that we too can cling to, even when all is not great, well, that's something worth talking about. This is a hope in Christ that does not leave us, even on the darkest of days, a hope that encourages us to not only lift up ourselves or lift up hope in the darkness, but peer into the darkness. It calls us to look into the darkness so that maybe we can be participators in this gift of grace, that we can be ready, actively waiting, wondering if there's somebody that we are called to help today. Because when we do that, when we train ourselves to peer into the darkness, when we realize that our gifts are meant for the world, that's a hope that does involve you in such a wonderful way. And it's one that can help us really start looking at ourselves when we realize that that's the goal. And I can look at myself and say, Michael, what are you going to do about the darkness of the world? Because God's calling you. So yes, I want to start by painting a broad picture of Advent and remind you about what we're celebrating and why we celebrate it when we do. So Christmas, you know that, right? That we celebrate Christmas not because Jesus was born on December 25th, but because we believe to celebrate Jesus' birth in the darkest of days is a great way to help people remind themselves that on those darkest of days, Jesus comes. But that's the interesting thing. That's what Christmas is, but the start of the season is beforehand. This season of Advent, that means that we're celebrating Advent in a season where every single day there's going to be more darkness before there gets more brightness. Right? I mean, that's the reality of this season. It's a little bit like singing, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be less sun than there was the day before until the winter solstice. It's just true. But isn't that important that in our optimism, in our desire to be optimistic, that we honor the truth that is, darkness is real, and it hurts sometimes. And some people are facing it more than others. So yes, Advent is actually about the light. It is. It is finally about Christ. But it's also about a world facing darkness and being overwhelmed by it. And it's getting us to ponder as the people of the light, what are we going to do about it? And today in our world, there is light and hope, but there is darkness and struggle. And by celebrating this time of year, it's sort of like just honoring what the fall is. That we can do something more than just wait for this to be over. And that's why today we're talking about actively waiting. Actively waiting. I want to talk about that for a moment because I was just thinking about how are we actively waiting? I was pondering that midweek when our FFH leaders, Jody Leckie and Giasmus, came in. They said to Pastor Lita and I, you know, our first date in over a year is coming up because of the building. We hadn't had the ministry to the homeless in our church for quite a while. That's what FFH is. We have four families that live with us for 1 week at a time, about four times a year. And they came in with thoughts about the process of getting this revved back up. And I'll tell you, I realized very quickly they were actively waiting. They were looking at the building renovation, wondering how that affects FFH and the program. And they weren't just waiting for that date. They were trying to figure out what we can do to prepare for that date. They said to us, we want to make sure a lot of people are excited and ready. And we can make this happen and make this just a wonderful day, a wonderful week for these people that are going to enter our church. We want to start building excitement and energy now. They decided too, I know Angie's here right now, that they'd answer your questions to make sure you know how needed you are. They wanted to empower you to be a part of this, to say, maybe you can do something. And why did they do that? Because they know that right now there is darkness hitting families, and we are preparing to respond, even when we're not actually responding yet. We're preparing by not simply directing light at them. We can't do that yet. We can direct light at you and help you see that your gifts are enough to be a gift to another. Active waiting for you could start by circling the dates January 26th through February 2nd. I'll say that again, January 26th through February 2nd. That's the week that they'll be here. And then figuring out how you can respond. Active waiting might be you realizing that it is a hard job, but you're the one that we're looking at. Have you ever been in that situation before? There's something that you're like, oh, that's not something I can do. And then you look around and you realize, well, in my case, Michael, nobody else is going to clean the toilet. That's right. Or whatever the job is. And in this church, we need somebody to do that, to clean the toilets every morning. We need somebody to spend the night at church with these people, with these families, just to be there, just to host them. In some ways, we talk about that as being the easiest job, but it's the longest job, spending the night overnight at church. So literally the day after all that FFH actively preparing, our outside our walls group came, and they wanted to speak with the leadership, and we wanted to make sure we could find a dedicated, clear spot so the congregation can see needs of the world. And that's what Outside Our Walls is always constantly doing, giving you an opportunity to respond. They realize that actively waiting is something that they can be constantly connecting you to, realizing that you're not always aware. And you've no doubt seen what they're doing. You can see their table display now. But they weren't just waiting till the next opportunity. They were talking about how they could figure out how to create an environment that was best able to empower you. You to be the bearer of Christ's light to others. How could they help you see the darkness out in the world? Not to overwhelm you, but to strengthen you, to be a gift for others. And I remember that day after that, I wandered to the north side of the building and the same thing was happening for our preschool. And sometimes we can forget that it's just a preschool, right? No, this is a mission of our congregation to bring people who don't have a place to go clearly, to come here, to find young families who are looking to learn something, to wonder a little bit more directly about what we do in this church. And so they were working on the rummage sale part of the craft fair, preparing, hoping for the arrival. And yes, we raised $5,500 plus for the preschool this past weekend. Now, where our world comes together with the world from the first century, let's think about that for a moment. Because when we read this text, it doesn't feel like something you want to hear. But neither does the hurt and the pain of the world when you walk into church. You don't want to hear it. But we hurt and we cry. And oftentimes we feel frozen in the darkness too. It's out there in the world. Sometimes you just want to come in here and feel good, and I get that, and I want that. And we try to create an environment so often where we see the light clearly. But we also are trying to create an environment that realizes that the darkness is real, and so is the light, and we have a job to do. And we are reminded that love is stronger than hate. So yes, that light is stronger than the darkness. Goodness will overcome evil. And that God's coming into this world that we celebrate right now, that Jesus Emmanuel is to be born into this world, means we have the ability to be actively waiting, knowing that we can be a part of the answer, that you can bring light to the world. And so yeah, today, even though it's not happened in our church yet, a sprout is preparing to shoot forth from a stump that has been dormant for a year in our FFH program. And four families are going to be given life through it. And today, someone is praying for you, as it says in Thessalonians, remembering what a gift of grace you are. And today, there is a whole lot of darkness in the world. Things that overwhelm us when we try to figure out how to deal with it. There are refugees running from all sorts of things. There is extreme poverty. There's extreme violence, extreme hate. It's all very real. There's a whole bunch of terrible things going on. But Jesus, the light of the world, is on his way. And you and I are not going to be overwhelmed by the darkness. We are going to overwhelm the world with the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Yeah, the darkness is real. And so is God's grace. Amen.